I'd studied all week on heal the brokenhearted, and I really thought, boy, that's it, you know. And I went to bed last night, and obviously it wasn't it. Tossed and turned all night long. So this morning, I regroup and ask the Lord to help us. And
amen.
This thought come to me, and I don't know, may not be 10 minutes, and may not be much, but it's what He laid on my heart. Now I want to make sure I follow the Lord.
Amen.
I want to read out of 2 Samuel in the 23rd chapter, and it's the last words of David, so the scripture says. And as I begin to study upon this, and the first verse there, he could have said David, and we'd all know who it was talking about. It wouldn't have been nobody here would have doubted who it was talking about. But it went on, and it just didn't just say David. It said, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, the sweet sumness of Israel, said." It went through all this to make sure. It didn't just say David. It let us know that he was the son of Jacob, the anointed of God, the sumness of Israel. I mean, it put some emphasis on this, that the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over man must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as a light of the morning. And when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as a tender grass springing out of the earth by the shining after the rain. And our thoughts is probably going to lie more in that fourth verse. It says, he shall be as a light of the morning. When the sun riseth, even in the morning without clouds, and as tender grass springing up out of the earth by the clear shining after the rain. And I want you to realize he's talking about something that's bright. And it said that the Spirit of the Lord spake by me as his word was in my tongue. And I begin to think about David, and her thought is going to be, we'll get to it here in a little while. Her thought's going to be, we went back and forth where we might ought to read from, but her thought's going to be, hopefully we'll get to it. If we don't, you'll still know what it is. It's crucify the flesh. Brother Josh mentioned that this morning. And boy, I thought, ain't that something? The Lord knows what needs to be done. And but over in the Psalms in the 51st chapter, David, it tells us here the what's going on. It tells us about the sin before it ever gets started that he'd committed with Bathsheba. And it said in the 12th verse, David said that restore unto me the joy of the salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, and then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And David, this is the same man that went through a big spill here in his last words a while ago, that we would know that he was anointed of God, that he was he was one that pleased God, and went through that he was the son of Jacob and the sumness of Israel, and he had said that his spirit was upon his tongue and his words. And so we think about this man, you would think about him never making any kind of mistakes, but the Bible clearly tells us in all this, it starts off, why David's in the shape he's in is due to the sin with Bathsheba. And I believe the Bible said he was imperfect in God's eyes, except all the things to do with Uriah. So not only did he commit adultery with Bathsheba, but he also was a murderer, in my opinion, of Uriah. So this is David, and we find here he talks about he would be a light, even such a light in the morning as the sun rises without a cloud, as the sun comes out after a rain, how pretty and bright it is. And I want you to know, every one of us have things that keep us from being that light that God would have us to be. somehow we must crucify the flesh. And I don't think it's only, I don't know about y'all, but there's been times, and sometimes even now today, I lose the joy of my salvation. And it's not always because you've committed a great sin. I think there's other things. Fear today. I mean, people there's so much fear today that people can't enjoy and be what they. And I want to tell you, you go to church now, you bow and pray. You don't ever know if somebody's going to come up and shoot you in the back of the head. We live in a time where there's all kinds of fear. We live in a time where now that you can't even enjoy your life. You can't afford anything. Everybody stays tore up all the time, and I believe for that a lot of people have lost the joy of their salvation, and they're no longer the light we used to be. Somehow we must crucify the flesh. And as Josh mentioned this morning, that don't happen in a minute. It didn't happen with David in a minute. I believe in all my heart. When he died, he was in a shape that he, the Lord was pleased with David. But I want you to know he failed, and I'll fail, and you'll fail along the way. And there will be times you'll lose the joy of your salvation. It talks about over there, David recognized what he was. He said, I was conceived, and I come forth from my mother's womb telling lies. I want you to know we always use these things to talk to lost people, but David, I was mentioning about himself. We must realize that first we have a problem. Larry, this morning, I don't mean to call you out, brother, but you the one said it. He said he had a problem with being angry. Listen to me, if you don't recognize you have a problem, you'll never get no better at it. If you don't recognize that you're not being that light, that bright shining light in the morning, you'll never get no better at it. If you don't recognize that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, you'll never get no better. Listen, well, if you're lost and you're separated from God, if you don't recognize that, you'll never be saved. You've got to see yourself for what you are. I'm just a sinner saved by God's grace. And David saw that. And because he was willing to repent, he goes on and he says, and you'll go over and read that. It talks about it in his house. It's not so. Listen, his children failed. His children failed. Even Solomon, the wisest man, he never would do like his daddy. He wouldn't repent. He failed over and over. He took up with all kinds of things. And he had other sons that tried to take over the kingdom. They were jealous of their old daddy and tried to kill their old daddy. Listen to me. This man suffered a lot of things. But yet in his dying words, the last words, God lifted him up. And I believe he was truly a great man of God. Amen. Because he saw himself for what he was. And he was willing to repent. But I think about all the times that I've wanted him to restore the joy of my salvation. It ain't been 2 or 3 months ago we was coming here, his house just tearing down. Listen to me. We was having a great big time. Hey, here lately we ain't had that problem. What is it? What's dragging us down? What gets a hold of us? I want you to know every one of us have things in our lives that we have to deal with, but sooner or later when we come to the household of God, surely for a little while we can shut those doors there and lock it out behind us for a little while to serve the Lord, that we might be a light to these lost people. We say we want them to be saved, and I would dare to say there's a lot of people who would wonder if I'd have ever been saved if they seen me. I go around, if you see me uptown, you ever seen Brother Mark Horton walk around?
Yeah.
I love Brother Mark. Amen. But that's Brother Mark. That's just what he is. You know, he just don't get too excited about nothing until the Lord gets involved. But we need him be involved in everything we do. It's hard for people to see. And I really am. I'm thankful for I've been saved. And I'm thankful that I have a close enough relationship with the Lord to find out when I'm on the wrong. There's times that I think I know what needs to be done. You may not ever get into that. As a pastor, it's a different story, I guess. Maybe a little bit. Maybe Brother Barry don't ever experience it. Maybe Brian don't. Maybe Marty don't. I don't know. But I know for me, if I ain't careful, I get in my head. I think things need to be took care of and they need to be fixed. And I want to help somebody. And I think this right here might help them and that might help them. And the next thing I know, I spent several days doing studying on things that God ain't a bit more. And a man on the moon, and then I find myself tossing and turning in the bed at night. I want you to know there's no joy in that. I want you to realize when you think you know better than God does. I used to watch a show and I'm not recommending. I watched it way before I started, before on my call to preach, but it was called King of the Hill. And old Peggy Hill, she was talking one time. She said, I asked God about it and I prayed about it. God told me, but I knew better. So in other words, what she said, she knew more than God. How many of us is that way? How many of us go to God asking him something and then, but yet we don't have the answer in our head? I ain't willing to accept the answer a whole lot of times. And because of that, I lose my joy. I see people go through so much. And I think about how I would handle it. I don't handle things good. I talk about my wife, how she don't like change. And she don't. Trust me, none. But I'm worse than her. I just don't do good. Anything happens, I get tore all to pieces. And I break nerves. Brother Barry has loved me enough in the past. He used to really try to help me. I don't know if he's just give up on me. I'll never forget one day up here at Central. We was in the youth revival. And I felt like I was failing miserable. And I come to him and I was tore all to pieces and I was worried. And he got pretty straight with me that time. And it's no way anybody would have thought that, you know, I was enjoying being saved or even preaching or anything. We get so tore up and caught up in things that we lose the joy of our salvation. Josh was talking about this morning, his granddaddy passed away. His grandmother said it's due to stress. I could see how that could happen. Even when I'm doing my very best and at my healthiest, I'm still worried, afraid I ain't doing good enough. And when the church is doing good and prospering and doing well, I'm just scared to death it's going to fall apart. I want you to know it's hard to have joy that way. You send your kids to school, you're worried to death. The Bible talks about perilous and perilous times, and we always talk about that being dangerous times, and it is. But listen, it's troublesome times also. When you send your kids to school, you shouldn't have to be worried the whole time that they're going to be able to come home, that there's somebody going to come in and kill them. We all have problems.
We all have things. There's everything around us to keep us from by being the light that we need to be to crucify this flesh. We all have things. And I really believe somehow or another nobody can actually really see the light that's in us. We get so caught up in everything and so worried about everything. And then, like I said, it ain't always just sin, and there's plenty of that. Yeah. Trust me, there's plenty of that is still in my life. I still fail daily. You're talking about anger. Ever since COVID, has anybody else had COVID here that has any anger problems? Anybody else? Any honest people? There you go. I can't remember. I can't keep my thoughts. I get angry over stuff that used to just, I wouldn't even thought nothing about. I'm so scared that one of these days somebody, I'm going to be out there in the shop working on a chainsaw, a weed eater or something, and somebody's going to walk up there to the door and see me out yonder taking a hammer and beating on something. And I think, what am I doing? It's a piece of junk. Why are you letting this control you? Why are you getting mad over it? Throw the thing back there in the pile. I got a pile of them back there I give up on. Well, I throwed some of them to the dumpster. Got tired of looking at them. There's other things besides the sin of committing adultery, committing a murder that keeps you from being able to enjoy your salvation. David had got to the point, it said Nathan had come to him. You know, it didn't seem like it much had bothered him much. Don't seem like before then, does it? He thought he was doing a pretty good job with it. And then Nathan, the Lord sent Nathan over and told him, he said, you're the man, David. And boy, you know what David could have done? What I've done and what some of y'all do here. He could have left mad. And it wouldn't have profited him a thing, would it? How many times, now be honest, how many times you ever left here mad at me? And once again, lying is a sin. Be honest. I've left mad before. I've left church mad before. I've left mad at the preacher. I felt like he's picking on me. But David didn't. See, that's the difference between him and Solomon and his other sons. That's the difference between me. He didn't get mad. He got down to the point that he saw himself for what he was. He just said, I was conceived in iniquity. I come forth from my mother's womb telling lies. And he went on to say, he talked about his condition. You'd almost think the man had his head, he might have lost his salvation. But he knew he didn't. But he'd gotten such a shape that he couldn't feel nothing no more. Have you ever been that way? Have you ever just not been able to feel the Lord? You know what to do about that? Let's be honest about it. You think the man, well, we might just go read it. But you'd think he just got to the point he just give up. But then God showed up and he restored his joy. Amen. And then his last words, he was able to go on and read the whole 23rd chapter there. We just read the first four verses, but it said the Spirit was in his tongue.
Bible every time a king after him. It would say either this and say he was not like his father, David. He was an evil king. Or he'd say he was like his father, David. This was a man after God's own heart. He was able to fix things. His joy was returned to him. He didn't go around groovy and, oh, I'm down in the dumps. I want you to know this man. He was like somebody had been born again. He done something about it. That's the difference. Do something about it. If you ain't able to feel God, hit an altar. That's what we tell lost people. If you don't feel it, go to you, pray to you do. Realize what you are. I preached that earth the old fashioned gospel. If you'll realize you're nothing but dirt, you'll know then what you are. I made a statement at the end of that, and I didn't even think about it until when I said it. It come to me standing there, first time I ever thought of it. God loves dirt. No matter how sorry you've been. No matter if you've committed a murder. No, and he done this as a saved man. No matter if you've committed adultery as a saved person. Crucifying the flesh don't happen overnight. It takes a while. But maybe we'll be like Paul. We'll be able to say, I've run my course. I fought a good fight. That's what David was doing. He was giving his last words, and so was Paul. I want you to know, I want to be able to do that. I want to finish well. And the only way you can do that, it started with repentance, and it'll end with repentance.
When you get where you're too big for your britches to repent, then you ain't going to finish well. Y'all pray for us. Amen. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Listen to what the man said. We always pick out the ones we want to use, and we use them most of the time to lost people. He's talking about himself. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy love and kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
And we know, listen to me, we know when we're saved by God's grace, that they're cast from the far as the east is from the west. They buried, listen to me, in the deepest sea. But David knew he'd fail. He got to a point that he knew he'd fail, not from grace. Listen to me, he never lost his salvation. But he got to the point, I believe he almost felt, I'm so separated from God that he almost felt like he did when he's lost. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever got yourself in such a shape that you couldn't feel God at all?
This man had. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. That's the difference. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is forever before me, and it has been. What he done to with Bathsheba and Uriah will never leave. It said it would never leave his house, and that's the reason his house never was what he was. And against thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest justify when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin, did I? And my mother's womb conceived me. Behold, thou desirest truth inward part in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with a hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall weather than snow. Listen to me. This man had got in bad shape. Listen. If you was reading this, what would you think? If you was reading it and didn't know better, what would you think? But I know better, and so did he. But he done himself in his shape, and so am I in times past. Listen, crucifying the flesh is not easy. Make me hear joy, gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken many may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, bought out by iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew the right spirit within me. He said, renew the right spirit in me. He knew he had it. Amen. And listen, that was a spirit that was in his tongue he's talking about here. He was a prophet. He was a man of God. And he had been lost that ability. Y'all getting quiet. You ain't liking this. You know why you ain't liking it? It's reminding you of somebody. And I ain't trying to tell you he's lost it. I'm telling you the word of God. You've got to take the word of God. Whether you like hearing it or not. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. This is how bad this man was tore up over it. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That's the only one we ever want to quote, because we're scared of the rest of it. And hold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Listen to me. Peter, the Lord told him, he said, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. He said, but when thou art converted, that didn't mean Peter need to be saved or that David need to be saved, either one. It meant when you get turned around, when you get your life in your order, then strengthen the mother. He said, then our sinners can be converted. Then I can help somebody else. Until you get yourself straightened up, you can't help or be no good to nobody. That's why we can't live in the world and live for God. Amen. You got to choose. You can't be a light dangling in the world. That's hard, preacher. Yeah, it is. It's hard for me. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, oh God. Of thy salvation, and thy tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in a burnt offering. Thy sacrifice of God are as a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Who do we say that to all the time? Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasures, O Zion, build up thy walls in Jerusalem. Then shalt they be pleased with the sacrifice, the righteousness, and the burnt offering, and the whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Listen to me. We use these scriptures to lost people all the time. David was talking to himself. Once again, he was not lost, but he felt he got in such a shame, he felt that way. He lost his joy. People like to talk about the night they think I got saved.
I put my testimony on that Facebook thing here a couple, 3 weeks ago. And one of a dear sister that was baptized with me, I love her. She was my neighbor. She said, I'll never forget the night you got saved. She don't know the night I got saved. She still thinks it's the night I joined the church and told it I got saved. It's never got back to her. That's my fault. There was such joy in me that night. I'm telling you, as a 14-year-old boy, when you're young, you don't scare, ain't afraid of death. Back then, I would jump out of a barn loft. It didn't make no difference to me. Riding motorcycles wide open, I'd do anything. But the reason I wasn't scared of death that night is because I knew I'd been born again. If the Lord had took me on home as a 14-year-old boy, it would have pleased me just fine. There was such joy there. I've seen times like that since then. I've never been saved again, but there's been times that I was right here one day. I can't even remember. I talked about it, the old-fashioned gospel, where I was praying here, where I always do. I can't remember what was going on. I'll be done in a little bit. But I was down there praying, and it had never occurred to me that I was dirt before. I heard people say I feel lower than dirt, and that day I felt that way. And I was trying to pray, and I was going to have to get up and preach. How would you like to do that? How would you like to be in the shape you are that you come in today and have to get up and preach? How many of you come in close enough to the Lord today to get up and preach? And there I was. Just felt all alone, a house full of people, and I felt all by myself. I said, God, I ain't nothing but dirt. Help me. And he loves dirt, and he helped me. Amen. Listen, there's been times I've never got saved again, and neither did David, but I've been so down and so lonely, so hurt and so crushed that I couldn't feel nothing. And then all of a sudden, he show up on the scene again. And you know, every time that's ever happened, when I realized how sorry I was. So if you're having a hard time getting close to the Lord, maybe you just ain't realized how sorry you are just yet. How much you need him. Do you really want your joy restored? Altars work good. I made a statement, and I believe it may have upset some, and I'm going to make it again. For a church to be revived, I ain't saying you're dead, but you better think you're dead. David wasn't dead. He was still alive. He was born again. But you know what? He kind of got to the point he thought he was. For a church to have revival, what has to happen? If you to be revived, you look in the Bible. When somebody was revived, what was they? They was dead. You've got to at least think you're dead. If you think you're alive and doing well, you ain't going to get much help. I've said this before, and people don't like that neither. If you don't stand of no repentance, then just loosen your galluses and go on to heaven. All of us sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with all afflictions and lusts. The fruit of the Spirit, the evidence, what we're supposed to bring forth is love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. Crucifying the flesh, we should be different. Laren mentioned in his Sunday school lesson being dead with Christ different times. How many times did it say that? A lot of people have a hard time with that. I don't. I don't have a bit of problem with it. Dead people don't commit sins. And what that's when it talks about being dead in Christ or with Christ, that means that inner part of man cannot sin no more. It can't. But this part that you look at can. And David had done it to a point that it crushed him. And it didn't only crush him, it crushed his family. And he paid for it the rest of his day. He had to live by the sword. I'm paying for my mistakes. I will, and so will you. But we don't have to keep making them.
Amen.
We can change.
Amen.
David changed. Yep. And I believe he was able to die close to the Lord. I believe he was like Paul. He was able to finish his course. He was able to finish the fight. He was able to finish well. I want that for me. I want it for you. If you ain't close to the Lord, do something about it.
Amen.
Quit sitting back and thinking it's going to be all right. Quit sitting back and feeling sorry for yourself. Quit sitting back and being mad. Do something about it. If you want to be close to him, I promise you he wants to be close to you. And you say, well, boy, you're the pot calling the kettle black. Amen. Amen. I fail miserably at it. But that don't stop me from being able to stand and tell you what you're supposed to do. If I had to be perfect to stand up here, then who would stand up here? I want you to be happy. So whatever's keeping you from being happy, let go of it. Serve the Lord.
Amen.
And then sinners might be converted. They might put their trust in the Lord. That's my little thought. That come to me this morning, but I'd still say he can heal the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted today, he can heal you. He sure can. If you're here today and you're lost, he can save you. If you'll see yourself for what you are, I've had to go back and look myself several times and see myself for what I am. And that's the reason I didn't stand in front of you today. If I couldn't repent, I couldn't do it. That's the only way I can do it, is live my life trying to repent daily because I fail daily. I promise you I do. But I promise you this, so do you. So trust in the Lord today. If you're here today and you're lost, seek the Lord. If you're here today and you need to get your life in order, if Nathan has come and visited with you today and told you where you have failed, then make an altar and seek the Lord. Get things straightened up with the Lord today. You got a song, brother. We'll have a song.